Last Sabbath, I mentioned that sometimes when I pray, I don't really know what to say, and so I go through my house at times. It's not a conventional way to pray, but I just cry out to God, and I say, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. I don't know what to do. I think there's something about the personality of men that wants to fix a problem. If there's a problem, identify the problem. We want to identify the problem, implement steps that will solve the problem, set a goal, implement those steps, solve the problem, and move on. We don't necessarily feel a need to talk about it or to express why we feel a certain way. The objective is to solve the problem and then move on. You notice our sermon title today is A Better Way to Pray. From a man's perspective, from my perspective, we may have a problem. Anytime we are praying, it's good. Okay? I would like to settle that issue to begin with. No matter how you pray, if you are communing with God in your way, that's fantastic. That's good. But I'm thinking about intentional spiritual enhancement. And really, I'm thinking about my own self. But I'm thinking about myself in the fellowship with you as my family. I think there's a better way to pray than we are praying. Some of you probably saw this sermon title and you thought, oh no, here comes another boring sermon on prayer. He's chosen the Lord's Prayer as scripture. That doesn't take much thought. I'm going to ask you to do something as I close the sermon today, that's intentional, it's engaging, and I think it will be a blessing to you and to the church. If you want me to, I can give you a lot of scripture today. I have them here in my notes about the way Jesus prayed. You already know this, don't you? You know that he got up real early in the morning and prayed. Mark 1:35 tells you that. You also are aware that often he would pray all night. We've looked at these texts in previous Bible studies and sermons. I don't think you necessarily need to be convinced that Jesus talked to God often, and he talked to God many times, all night long, and throughout the day. What I am learning is that his level of spiritual maturity was so high. He really understood God in many different ways. So when I read the prayers in the New Testament that Jesus prayed, he can ask for things and receive the answer. And when he prays, he seems to pray on a far different level than I pray on. I was thinking this morning, as I was preaching to the group at Ranger, of all the different circumstances that I've been asked to pray. Now, I like to pray. But I think sometimes they're just a black magic marker across my forehead that says, this man will pray. I go to a public meeting, and out of 50 people, I'm asked to pray. I have prayed for a lot of different things. Had a little boy one time come into my office. There were some birds, and I've forgotten the kind of birds, but what kind of birds is it that builds nests in the corners of porches? Okay, there you go, swallows. He was so concerned that the family cat was going to kill the little baby birds as they would be hatched out of that nest. So here's this small kid in my office, and he says, "You've just got to pray for these birds." They didn't teach me this when I got my degree in theology. So we got down on the carpet and we prayed for those birds. By the grace of God, they all lived. I have prayed for horses, for dogs, and for cats. I've prayed for newborn babies. Held some of your babies right here on this platform and dedicated them to God. Stood in the baptistry and prayed for you and others as you begin a new walk with God. Conduct marriages and pray for the couple. Conduct funerals. Pray for the families. Make hospital rounds and pray for the sick. I remember one time being asked to pray for 23 or 24 physicians. They all knelt to pray. I thought, what an honor. I was asked to pray at the Jordan River. I've had some wonderful experiences serving God. But I still think there's a better way to pray. Jesus prayed. Several occasions come to my mind that are of significance. At his baptism, he came up out of the water, went to the bank, and he began to pray. And if you read the story in Desire of Ages, it tells you that the angels have never heard such a prayer as Jesus prayed. At the Transfiguration, when he took Peter, James, and John, it was as if the doors of heaven opened up and the light shone down. I've shared with you Jesus standing in front of the tomb of Lazarus and Jesus praying before God. John chapter 11, if you want to look it up this afternoon. And in that prayer, Jesus prays, "Father, I want you to answer this prayer, not because of me, but I want the people standing around here to believe in you because of what's going to happen here." And as Jesus prayed, and he came to the end of his prayer, and he said those three immortal words, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus came forth from the grave. And as you read on in that chapter, it tells you that many people believed because of what happened to Lazarus. You will also read in Jesus' prayer that he sometimes began his prayer by saying, "Father, I thank thee." And then he goes into his prayer and then he asks God for certain things. Now, if you are going to be engaged in prayer, listen to me. That form of prayer is for very mature Christians. I personally have followed that pattern of prayer in my ministry, but I'm not so sure I've always been qualified to do so. Whenever you are asked to pray, here's the formula. It always works. You can begin your prayer, and I've taught you this before. Wonderful Lord in heaven, we thank you today for the privilege of being here in your presence. We ask that you honor us today with people who can sing, with somebody who can explain the word. Please give us health and healing and happiness. That's the T's and the G's. Now, it's not wrong. That's the typical standard way to pray. And the next time you listen to somebody pray on TV or behind this pulpit, I would almost guarantee you that's the pattern that we use. It's what is practiced in public prayer. And it's good. But there are times when you pray when you need to be like Jesus and you need to be alone. Jesus would often go out into a solitary place to pray. There are times when you need to be surrounded with people to pray for you, as was Jesus the night before he was to be crucified. Remember, he took Peter, James, and John, and he said, I want you men to pray for me. And he went off a little ways to pray, and he came back, and they were all asleep. He needed the joy and the assurance that his family was praying for him. When you pray in private, now listen to me. I want you to do something. I wish you would do it for a month. But if you would do it for a week, it would benefit you. If you would do this for one day, if our whole church would be engaged in what I'm going to suggest, just for one day, it would represent many hours of prayer. Engaging God, not to thank Him and not to ask Him. You tried. Leave off the T's, Lord, we thank you. Leave off the G's, will you give me? And the give me comes in many different forms. Make me well. Give me a safe trip to church. My hope is to engage God in the way Jesus did. He already knew God the Father. But are you aware that in order to maintain that is the reason he spent entire nights in prayer? Probably parts of many days he spent in prayer. He knew God the Father. Therefore, when he prayed publicly, he could say honestly, I thank you because I believe in your omnipotent power and your ability to restore life. I'm asking you to bring Lazarus back to life again. I've told you before, I don't have that courage. I could not go into the nursing home over here and go from room to room and ask for those people to be healed. But Jesus could have. He went through village after village, and when he left, there was not even a person with anything wrong with them. I want to ask you, Consider this new, no, it's not new. Consider engaging God in two-way communication. For a month or a week or a day, I would even settle for an hour if you won't give me a day. And your communication could go something like this. I was trying this all during this week. And if I wasn't intentional, it would not have been working, Bruce. I am so accustomed to thanking God and asking God for things. I too engaging in this intentional goal of getting to know God. I'm having to train my mind in my private life for a little while here. I want to know Him. I want to know who He is. And in such a way, if I focus on the gift, it's kind of difficult to focus on the giver. Does that make any sense? I want to know Him as a personal God. This morning in my devotion, it went something like this. And I was praying for this sermon. That's what was on my mind early this morning, was this sermon. And in my conversation with God, I said something like this. I know that You are faithful. You have never let me down. I know that You are powerful. And I know that You are wise. I don't know who's going to be at church today, but God, You do. You have always helped me as I've stood before the people. I just believe that You are going to help me today. My hope is that as you engage in that type of communion with God, it really turns into a prayer of praise and adoration, and it just might move you into some reflective Bible study. Don't you like that phrase? Reflective Bible study. It just might lead you to the book of Psalms, where David records so many of the attributes of God. You see, most men want to identify the problem, then they want to fix it. If you are a man or a woman, get into the book of Psalms a little bit. And your mind will grow to some of the adjectives that David uses to explain God Almighty. You might even end up in Psalms 51, where David is. He's really confessing his sins. But in this type of getting to know God, your expression would go something like this. I understand that my heart has not always been clean. But You've given other people clean hearts. You've given other people transformed lives. I just believe You are in the process of transforming me. That's David saying, create in me a clean heart, O God. And when you read the part that says, and renew a right spirit within me. Some of us in this room have some deep scars. Just because of the cards that we've been dealt to play with in life. We need our spirits renewed. In full faith, just like Christ. David prayed out for that. Renew this right spirit within me. Well, I'm asking you to look at that and put it into the first person singular and say, God, I read what you did for David. I believe you want that for me. I want to close with a story. There was a blind man. I think a few months ago I did a sermon on Bartimaeus. If I remember, I had a cup up here with some coins in it, and I shook the cup like blind people did in those days. Bartimaeus sat beside the roadside. He was begging. You can read this in Mark 10. I think it's 46 or 47. He hears that Jesus is coming by. Some type of conversation there takes place. And they come to Bartimaeus and they tell him to get up. Because Jesus wants to see you. So they take Bartimaeus to where Jesus is. And Jesus says to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Now, please don't be offended. Jesus never asked any stupid or illogical questions. They were filled with serious meaning. But to ask that to a blind man, the answer seems so obvious. Here's the creator of the universe who created the eyes in the beginning, and he says to the blind man, what do you want me to do? That's a set-up question. And oh, blind Bartimaeus, he says, I want to be able to see. I don't know if he was married. He could have said, I want to see my wife. I want to see my kids. I want to see mama. I want to see daddy. I want to see the sanctuary. I want to see the lamb. You know who the first person he saw was? When Jesus healed Bartimaeus and he opened his eyes, he was looking into the face of God himself. His prayer was, I know you've healed. I know you've raised the dead. I know you've given sight to other people. I know you stood and you calmed the Sea of Galilee from the storm and the lightning. But I want something myself. I want to be able to see. The spiritual application here is, somebody came and got Bartimaeus. We might say some church people. There was something between Bartimaeus and being ready to meet Jesus. The Bible says he took off his outer garment. I don't know why. I tried to find out why. It's not in Desire of Ages. If it's there, I couldn't find it. He took off his outer garment. He took off his coat. Maybe it was dirty. Maybe it was tattered. Maybe it was torn, stained, cheap. I don't know. But he did not feel like he should go before the King of the universe with that old coat or that garment. So he took it off and went to see Jesus. As if to mean there could be something standing between me and God. There might be something standing between you and God. There might be something that you are wearing or something you possess that keeps you from being fully engaged in this conversation with God. You just know, you are convinced that unless you take care of that, you cannot have this communion with God like the Bible wants you to have. If that be the case, take it off. If you are weak, he will help you to remove it. If you are still weak, bring it with you to Jesus. I don't think Jesus was even concerned about what he was wearing. And Bartimaeus came, and Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "I want to see." That's the goal that we should have in prayer, really. I want to understand God Almighty. I want to be renewed in this full commitment that God is still in control, that God knows where I am in this little speck called the earth, in the great vastness of the universe. That Jesus Christ died for me, and he died for me personally, and he's coming back soon to take me and others to be where he is, and I want to be ready. It's a sweet hour of prayer when you find yourself fully engaged in getting to know God for who he is. It called you from a world of care. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to make a decision, to just try it. Now, we're not supposed to do business on Sabbath, right? But I'm negotiating here. Would you be willing to try this in the afternoon of today? On your own, somehow, some way, go to a solitary place and commune with God. Try to leave out the thank you and try to leave off the give me. You can use that in another prayer later on this evening. But in this communion with God, it's you and God. That will be your sweet hour of prayer.